Scriptures today is from the book of Luke, chapter 24, verses 44 through 53, and it's the story of the Ascension. It's Ascension Sunday. I don't know if that's on the bulletin, but you'll find out quickly. Jesus said to the disciples, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my God has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. These are our sacred stories.
Have you seen the YouTube video of astronaut commander Chris Hadfield on the space station singing Space Oddity? You know David Bowie's, "This is Major Tom to ground control." I wasn't going to sing that, but it happened anyway. If you haven't seen it, you're in the minority and you need to fix this immediately. It's gotten over 18 million views. I have only seen it because I heard an interview with the commander and Terry Gross. It was a great conversation, and it sent me to my computer to watch Commander Hadfield playing guitar and singing about floating in a tin can. Well, floating in a tin can. It's great. At one point in the interview, Gross asks, "What are some of the problems of working in a weightless, gravity-less atmosphere?" The commander responds, "All kinds of stuff when you're counting on gravity. It all has to be rethought, and it catches you unaware all the time. Trying to do up my shoe to go running on the treadmill, you know, it's easy on Earth. You bend over, you tie your shoe. But if you think about it, when you're doing up your running shoes, you're using both hands and one foot, and so there's nothing to hold you in place anymore. You always sit down or lean on something on Earth, but in space, suddenly you're this uncontrolled 180-pound mass bouncing off of everything. So something as esoteric as designing cooling systems for standard equipment, or something as prosaic as just doing up your shoes, you have to rethink it all. When our bearings are off kilter, when our experiences have required us to change, we are inspired, forced to rethink, to reconsider our beliefs, our ideas, our ideals. This is the last Sunday of Eastertide, and to celebrate, the lectionary gives us the story of Jesus's gravity-defying ascent into the heavens. 43 days ago, we celebrated Jesus's resurrection from the grave, and now he's at it again. In Eastertide, Jesus seems to rise over and over. He's gone, and then he's back, and then he's gone, and then he's recognized in the breaking of bread and rising early to cook breakfast for the disciples, appearing in a room to show off his scars. Jesus invites us to rethink what is pulling us down and to rise, to rethink what has been dry and desolate and to rise. What are we supposed to do once the danger is past, once the disappointment has worn off, the betrayal is finished, the falling apart is done? What are we supposed to do when the weight of worry is lifted? What do we do when our bodies have started to heal? when our spirits begin to long for flexibility and flow after a long oppression? How do we rise? How do we make new life? How do we make new life in the face of permanent change? The loss of physical ability, the loss of a loved one, the loss of a worldview. I've been trying to live into the fullness of Eastertide, the fullness of the joy and the fullness of the pain. Easter Sunday and next Sunday with Pentecost make an interesting inclusio for the 50 days between. They are so joyful, the resurrection and the coming of the Holy Spirit. But the days between are so much more the good and the bad, the ecstasy and the bitter sorrow. Even if Jesus does appear from time to time, he's not present in the same way he was before, and his presence is fleeting. He is, in a real sense, gone. The story of the Ascension is just compelling enough to capture our attention if we let it. It invites us to examine where we're held down and where we might rise. It's a strange story, and the gospel writers can't agree on when it happened and how it happened and if it happened at all. It's in the extra added ending of Mark, and it's in Luke. That's it. None of the other gospels have it. It's also in Acts, and even though Luke and Acts we think are written by the same person, they don't have this story happening in the same way, not in the same time or the same place. So what do we do with this story? I wonder if we might be willing to consider more than time and place, more than physical possibility. Are we willing to consider how we might be lifted up? How we might move toward healing? Can we rise from what prevents us from being our full selves? Can we rise from what imprisons us? From the mire and confusion that bind us? If we try to be aware, to notice, it can become almost involuntary, this rising. Sometimes we just can't help but feel alive, can't help but feel joy, an acknowledgement of hope. Does not mean that we ignore our pain or grief, and it doesn't make betrayal go away. It does give us a fuller life, though, a richer one. Finding ways to rise, to lift our lives toward hope, toward healing, toward wholeness. This is the task of all who will work for justice, for God's realm of peace. Sometimes it's hard work. A long and weary journey full of moments of despair and frustration. William Cullen Bryant said, "Truth crushed earth will rise." Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. used Bryant's words during a speech he gave on the steps of the state capitol in Montgomery, Alabama in 1965. He said, "I know you're asking today, how long will it take? Somebody's asking, how long will prejudice blind the visions of men, darken their understanding and drive bright-eyed wisdom from her sacred throne? Somebody's asking, when will wounded justice lying prostrate on the streets be lifted from this dust of shame to reign supreme among all children? And somebody's asking, when will the radiant star of hope be plunged against the nocturnal bosom of this lonely night, plucked from weary souls with chains of fear and manacles of death? I come to you this afternoon, however difficult the moment, however frustrating the hour, to say to you it won't be long, because truth, crushed to earth, will rise again. And so we rise up. We labor together, fighting for justice for all of God's people. To counter hate, we must use acts of love and compassion. The resurrection occurs in stages, really. First, there's the Easter rising, where Jesus lifts into an astonished friends, compelling the imaginations of generations to understand this Easter story. And then in many stories, from Easter Sunday until now, Jesus appears among us again, coming into struggle and disbelief, appearing amid fear and heartache, coming to tell us and show us that love never dies. This Sunday, with the story of the Ascension, Jesus rises beyond the immediate lives of his friends and into what has often been described as oneness with God, as a place where Jesus will always be bending toward those who love. Wherever Jesus goes, and it's honestly not clear to me, his rising is poignantly felt. In the book of Acts, two angels walk up to the disoriented disciples and ask, "Why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who's been taken up from you will return the same way he went." Perhaps this means that Jesus will come again, not falling from heaven, but rather that he will rise again from the bottom of the world, born in some unnoticed stable amid scandal and poverty and dust. All this rising requires rethinking. It's the work of the astronaut in space. It's the work of those of us who would follow Jesus. It's the work of those who seek justice. This buoyancy, this hope, this rising from dust is not perhaps intuitive, but it is possible. It's visible. Glimpses are seen right here on earth if we'll only pay attention. Glimpses among us in our welcome, and the kindness of a stranger and the help of a friend, and the love we have for each other. Every story of an appearance of Jesus in Eastertide spurs people to join hand in hand and to live together as risen people. We need Eastertide hope. We need it in our hearts and our minds. Our stories are woven with triumph and pain. They create a tapestry. Sometimes the fabric is held down, weighed down, burdened. Sometimes the tapestry of hope is threadbare. Lent began with a reminder that we have come from dust, and to dust we will return. We've come from the womb love of God, and to that womb we will return. And now Lent and Eastertide culminate in this day with this ascension story, with a reminder that like dust we can rise. Maya Angelou writes, "You may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may tread me in the very dirt, but still, like dust, I'll rise. Up from a past that's rooted in pain, I rise. I'm a black ocean leaping and wide, welling and swelling I bear in the tide, leaving behind nights of terror and fear. I rise into daybreak that's wondrously clear. I rise, I rise, I rise. Amen.